So this gospel story we have for today is perhaps one of the most familiar of Scripture. The fishermen at their work, summoned by the Savior to leave their nets and follow. An idyllic scene in our minds, we probably picture a calm Sea of Galilee, sun shining down, the boats neat and orderly along the shore. Simon, who will later be called Peter, his brother Andrew, their associates James and John, in Mark's gospel, they are the first ones invited to follow after Jesus. We might imagine them to be industrious men, the kind who are up early every day to gather their supplies and pack the boats, then casting their nets upon the waters, gathering up that catch, returning to shore, cleaning those fish and preparing them and taking them to the market. This was the family business, something they had been training for and raised in since they were little boys. They had probably all fallen into familiar patterns. Who remembers to pack the food each day? Who's gifted at mending the nets each night? Who's the best at haggling the prices in the marketplace? They probably each have their niche. And they must enjoy some amount of success, given that they've been able to hire men to help. Their hard work shows in their strong arms, the rough, cracked skin on their hands, the scars from where a hook or a fillet knife missed its mark. The odor of salt water and fish that accompanies them everywhere, even after washing up at the end of a long day. It is also what marks them as among the lowliest people in Roman culture, those who work with their hands, who smell like their catch. They are near the bottom rung of the ladder of success as far as society is concerned. Even so, this is probably comfortable for them. It maybe even feels safe to them, except for when storms come up. The Sea of Galilee can be unpredictable. Sudden storms, wild winds, high waves, they've seen their share of those and lived to tell the tale. It's not true of every Galilean fisherman. There can be chaos on the sea, and those fishermen, they know who rules over the chaos. For these men have also been raised in Jewish tradition. They've heard the Hebrew scriptures all their lives. They've attended synagogue every Sabbath night, celebrated the high holy days of Purim and Sukkoth and Pentecost. They know that in the beginning, God created order by reigning in the wild, chaotic waters of the universe. And then God pronounced that order good. That was a long time ago, before the ancestors wandered the desert lands, before the enslavement of Egypt, before the punishment of the exile. That was a time when God walked on the earth side by side with humankind, walked in an easy sort of relationship with the first man made from the dust of the earth, the first woman who is the mother of all the living. A long time ago, so long ago, in fact, that it feels more like legend than history to them. And then, into their predictable lives, governed by synagogue practices and Roman rule, came Jesus. Jesus, who is baptized in the desert by John and visited by the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. Jesus, over whom God's voice proclaimed, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus, who's been traveling the length of Galilee, teaching and preaching that the kingdom has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. It is as if God has chosen once again to walk the earth beside humanity. And God is inviting them, these four average fishermen, to walk beside him, to leave the chaotic waters of first century life as it has become, to follow him and live like the creation intended, to live abundantly in harmony with every created thing. Mark's gospel tells us that at once they left their nets. They left their father, the hired men. They followed Jesus. we might marvel at that commitment to drop everything at a moment's notice. But if Jesus has in fact been traveling through Galilee for some time, maybe this isn't the first conversation they've had. Regardless, there must have been something that convinced them that Jesus was worth following. Something that told them he is the real deal. Something to convince them to trust the call of Jesus that came to them through this teacher, preacher, miracle. Because something lured them to trade the familiar and comfortable for the unknown. They didn't just leave a job, they left their families. James and John left their father in the boat with the hired men. We learn in verses following this story that Simon has a mother-in-law, which means he's probably married, maybe even has children. To follow Jesus into the unknown means to give up something of their identity, to swap who they are as fishermen, sons, husbands, for who they will become. Disciples of a great teacher, followers of God with us. One day, preachers and teachers in their own right. And all this comes about not because they are scholars or because they are rich men or because they are priests, because there are none of those. It comes about because they are willing. Willing to listen. Willing to learn. Willing to leave behind the temptation of the familiar and comfortable in order to reach for something more and something better. In 2014, Lawrence C. Katz and Manning Rubin published a book that encouraged us to start thinking differently. Entitled Keep Your Brain Alive, the book draws on neurobiotic research that shows giving your brain new exercises to prevent memory loss can help sharpen your mind and keep you going. They suggest new experiences that combine physical senses like vision and smell and touch and taste and even hearing with emotional senses. And when you do that, it stimulates more connections between the different brain areas. And in turn, those stimuli can cause nerve cells to produce brain nutrients that help your memory and make the surrounding cells stronger and more resilient to the effects of aging. These neurobiotic exercises are described as cross-training for your brain. And they're simple things you can add to your routine every day, like have you ever tried brushing your teeth with the other hand? It's harder than it sounds. I have tried a few times. Also, something as simple as change which seat you sit at your dining room table. Because changing your seat changes your perspective. It changes who you relate to and how you relate to them, how you relate to even things like the salt and pepper shaker in the middle of the table. And all of that, it says, is good for your brain. Jesus called these first disciples to change their perspective, knowing that it was going to change everything, how they relate to one another, to God, and to the world. The church has discovered this truth time and time again across the 2,000 years since God with us walked the earth beside humankind. When we get comfortable in our familiar surroundings, we forget that our mission is to follow Jesus, and Jesus is always on the move, always traveling to those in need of the good news, always touching those who need healing, always preaching the light of goodness and of God to those who dwell in darkness. We forget that God calls us to leave behind the temptations bred of comfort and familiarity, and to step out into unknown territory. I've had my own brushes with stepping out in faith over the last 10 months, shifting to online worship and then to hybrid worship has challenged me, but it's also made worship accessible to all of us during this season of quarantine. And I believe online worship is going to stay with us beyond this season, because I know our worship is connecting with people who can't leave their homes for reasons other than COVID quarantine. It's reaching people who don't live in our community and find us only online. It's there for people who can't be with us at 10 a.m. on Sunday because of work or other commitments, but can watch the recording during the week from their living room or their kitchen table. As a church, Fly Creek Church, we have reached out in faith to help and support Dean and Kamisha in a variety of ways, including financially as well as physically with transportation and a few other life essentials. And now we're able to look down the road even a little bit farther, to actually envision the day when COVID is part of our past, not our present reality, when everybody's had access to a vaccine, when the nightly news is no longer keeping a tally of illness and death. And when we look down that road, we get excited about thinking about the return of in-person Bible study and book study, Sunday school, choir. We get excited about the return of fellowship nights and movie nights and dinners. It's a moment, too, to dream about new possibilities. Imagine new ways that we might cast the nets of kindness into our community and find new avenues for sharing love with those who are not yet part of our church. Where is Jesus calling us to move? Where is God calling you to move? The streets of Fly Creek, the neighborhoods of Cooperstown, the far reaches of Hartwick and Exeter? How about to the people who work down the hallway at school or on another floor of the clinic building? What about those who are out of work today? Can we imagine reaching out to the high school football fans saddened by the loss of the 2020 season? Do we lean toward the musicians and artists scrambling for ways to earn a living from their passion? Are we connecting with those whose health is compromised and therefore are homebound until they are fully vaccinated? Are we willing to connect with those who doubt the science that says wearing masks saves lives? And what can we share with those who are elated that the 46th president was inaugurated this week, and also with those who still don't believe he belongs there? How can we support persons of color who experience discrimination and racism every day while educating ourselves and also those who deny the reality of white privilege? But kindness and love and grace will lift others from the chaos they experience and show them the peace God offers. How about the ministry of presence, of being present, of being present with no agenda other than friendship? How about the ministries of conversation, compassion, of listening, of prayer? Friends, we have much to offer to a world where chaos reigns. Let's not become too comfortable or too complacent in our little bubble here. Let's remember to carry the light of God on our pathway and out into the world, and let's cast wide our nets of love and grace.